Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. All right, we certainly thank God for them. They'll be here with us for our anniversary, the second Sunday in September, inside of your worship guide. You should also receive some flyers. We encourage you to share that with your friends and your family members to come and to celebrate with us as well. Amen. Amen. I don't intend to be before you long. I try to be brief and brilliant, as hopefully the Uplift members will share with you that Pastor does try to be brief and brilliant. During the month of August, we are not in a sermon series. We know that August is like the last vacation month when we see attendance spike and things like that. So this is what I would consider a free fall, meaning we have topical sermons that I believe will be a blessing to you. I was excited about this sermon on this morning. I even posted on Facebook. I can't wait to get to church because I believe it's going to be a blessing in someone's life. Amen. If you have your Bibles, your book of instructions before leaving Earth, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android Galaxy, Google Glass, or whatever it is you all may use, now we invite you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Once you have found it, would you please stand to honor the reading of God's word? Amen. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Normally, all the texts are on the screen, but I'm actually going to try to read the entire chapter. So if you don't have a Bible, you can look on with your neighbor. Neighbor, 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Amen. You haven't said amen. You're still looking. Say, hold up. All right, got one still looking. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. On last week, we shared from the topic, don't waste your wine, meaning don't waste the gift that God has placed in you. And so today, you'll hear a little bit more about that. When you even want to throw in the towel, when you want to give up, we'll hear how God is able to catch us and bring us back when we least expect it. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. I'm reading from the New International Version because that's just my version of choice. Here's what it says, beginning with verse number 1. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Michal, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Michal, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth's grandson of your master will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Michal, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seat, will you do me a favor? I need to practice this. Put a smile on your face. If you do a smile, you can't smile. On your face. If you didn't brush your teeth, don't show your teeth. Just put a smile on your face. There we go. That got some smiles. Smile on your face. Amen. Will you do me a favor and look at your neighbor? Say, neighbor, good morning. It's good to see you. So glad you came to church. Amen. This morning's sermon is when a dog eats at the table. Do me a favor, look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor, good morning. So good to see you. Glad you came to church today. You look good. This morning's sermon is when a dog eats at the table. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. It's so good to see my friend, my brother, Pastor Rob, come in to worship with us as well. When a dog eats at the table, will you pray with me? Father God, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Soundly now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. When a dog eats at the table. It's amazing, brothers and sisters, that sometimes life can catch you off guard. So much so that it will make you want to give up and say, I'm just not going to try that anymore. Some of us, we go through life just like that. You got used to just living through bad situations. How do you find the courage to enjoy life in the midst of a bad situation? Here's what I want to do. I want to show you a part of a video clip. I want you to hear one person's story, and then we'll find out a little bit more about when a dog eats at the table. Hear the story of this brother that the AV team shared with us.
It was a surprise to my parents that their firstborn son was going to be born without limbs. When they saw me, the doctor saw me, and they said, sorry, we have no explanation. And still to this day, it remains a mystery. They called it phocomelia, which means being born without limbs for no medical reason. It was definitely difficult in those fragile early years of childhood, and even in teenage years, trying to work out the truth of my value, that it's not determined on whether I have arms and legs or not, or how many friends I have. And I just took it one day at a time, and realizing that we're all different, but I don't need to be someone I'm not. I just need to be the best me I can be. I love swimming, just for recreation and floating, and just a very peaceful thing that I do for relaxation. Because I have no arms and legs that weigh me down, I actually float like a life vest. I've learned how to move around the pool and even in the ocean and even on the surfboard. It was an incredible experience jumping out of a plane at 13,500 feet. That experience of free falling was, it was one of the most free and just, this is cool. And so to me, it was a great, fun, unique experience. I mean, I love adrenaline. I really, really do. I will never do it again. Literally only because I'm now a father.
Look out here for my boy.
Oh, I miss him so much. At 17, my janitor at my high school, we made friends, and he looked at me one day and he, to my surprise, said, "You're going to be a speaker." And I said, "You're a crazy old man." I said, "What do you think I'm going to speak about?" He said, "Your story." I said, "I don't have a story." He said, "Yes, you do.
My doctors never thought that I'd be able to walk, and today,
I'm walking." For anyone who's embarking on a new season or chapter in their life, for instance, in corporate America, it was a big, big step for me to move from Australia to Los Angeles, and you will always have obstacles. When we live in such a competitive world, it's very easy to talk yourself out of trying again. It's very easy to talk yourself out of doing anything new. But if that's within you, in your heart, your mind, and your spirit, this is what you need to move forward in and go for it. And don't be afraid to fail. Because even if you do fail, you're not a failure. Failure is education. We're all outsourcing overseas, but there are many people that I know who are looking for jobs, who have different disabilities, and I think it's part of that corporate social responsibility that maybe perhaps American corporations can really invest in on. It's not just giving someone a wheelchair or a building to access. It's about inspiring them as well to get up and go create something. I at best was thinking, well, I hope I get a job, and here I am, a president of two companies and employing, over a dozen people here in America. And we're just thankful that itself is hopefully inspiring to others.
What an amazing story. His brother was born with no arms and no legs. He has several videos. He's a motivational speaker. He plays drums. He drives a car. He is married. He has a child. There was one point in his life where he said, "I did not know why I should continue living." Then God called him deeper. God let him know that he had so much more for him. It's amazing when we watch stories like this, it causes us to reflect on our own lives and how sometimes we can be so unappreciative of what we have and where we are. The reality is, brothers and sisters, God has blessed you and he has so much more for you. And I want to help us to understand, what do you do when you have seemingly lost everything? How do you get back up again and eat at the table? Here it is, brothers and sisters. First of all, if you have your sermon insert, you'll see our first point is this, that in the text, we see that the brother was crippled at a young age. Crippled at a young age. I love it. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, he's royalty when he's born. He's born into the leading family. His grandfather is the king, so he is in the line to be a future king of Israel. He's born, and his outlook on life is filled with great possibilities. To him, the world is a beautiful place, filled with hope and opportunities. He can't help but see the good side of life. Just as many of us came into the world, and we heard things like, you can be anything you put your mind to. You heard that you can dream big dreams. You went to elementary school, and you had that profound philosophical question that every elementary school teacher asks every student, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then you had some of the outlandish dreams. I want to be president. I want to be an NBA basketball player. Hit up if I used to say, I want to be tall. That was one of my things. I dreamed big dreams. You would say, I want to be rich. I want to live in a big house and drive a nice car. You dreamed big dreams and dared to share them. See the world as a place that was ready to give us what we wanted. Rarely do you hear a student raise their hand and say, I want to be lonely. Rarely does a student raise their hand and say, I want to be depressed. No, they don't raise their hand and say, I want to be in debt. I want to be disappointed with my own life. No, from their infancy, they begin to say, I want to be great. The world becomes a beautiful, bright place filled with hope and possibility. The same is true for Mephibosheth. He's a kid with a good birth. He's in line to be king of Israel. But something happened that changed his world from bright and sunny, from a hopeful place to one that was hopeless and broken. Listen to his story. As a kid, living life as a kid, his father and grandfather head off to war against the Philistines. And while Mephibosheth is a kid, his father and grandfather are killed on Mount Gilboa. As a kid, his idea of family was shattered as his father and his grandfather were killed. And his hopes of a saving life had been shattered. Because his nurse, she ran in to grab him and to rush out, thinking that others would come trying to kill Mephibosheth too. Here he is, a kid. He's lost his father and his grandfather. And now his nurse is running, trying to save his life. And in her haste, she dropped him. And he became lame. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, life has a way of knocking the life out of you. His view of the world had changed drastically because of circumstances in his life. He's lost loved ones. He's crippled and he has to leave his house. Mephibosheth is crippled at a young age. He's crippled, though, in several ways. Yes, he's crippled physically, but what must it have been like for him to deal with the crippling loss of a father and a grandfather when he was only about 5 years old? And then on top of that, his life is in danger and he's not even old enough to know why somebody would want to take his life. He's leaving his home and he doesn't even know where he's going. Life can sometimes knock the life out of you. His view of the world has changed from one filled with hope and promise to one of dark clouds and hopelessness because of what he's experienced. How true this can be for many of us sitting here this morning. You may have come into the world with great hopes and dreams, but the situations of your life has caused you to view the world very differently. It used to be bright and sunny, but now it's filled with cloudy days. You thought that people would accept you for who you were, only to find out that they judge you based on your skin color, based on your education, based on the car you drive or where you live or even who you are married to. You thought you could trust people only to find out the people that you put your trust in hurt you the most. You believed them when they said they would do anything for you, only to find out that they would set obstacles in your way to hinder your progress. You go to school. You got the good grades and the student loans to match, only to find out that you can't find a job. You gave your heart to someone only to watch them take it, throw it on the ground, and then stomp on it. You thought that some people were your friends and they said they had your back only to stab you in the back. I'm preaching better than some people are responding. I know I'm in somebody's seat right now. Our experiences in life have a way of coming in and crippling us in many ways. I wish somebody would talk back to me. The reality is, brothers and sisters, many of us live day to day just like this, and you've been hindered because of the experiences you've had in life. This is what happens with Mephibosheth. The brother is crippled physically. He's crippled mentally and socially. There's a story of a young girl. I remember when I was on staff at Mount Carmel, I started an after school program. And this one student, she would come to the after school program, but she would never really pay attention. Then I can remember she would come to the after school program, but I asked her how she was doing in school, only to find out in a 4-month period the girl had skipped about 60 days in school. I said, well, why are you skipping class so much? She said, I have no reason to go. She said, Pastor, I was a mistake. She said, I've seen my father once when I was 7 years old. He took me to McDonald's. He lives in the city, but he has another family. I was the mistake. My mother was on drugs, and so I went from one house to another house to another house, and so no one has ever really wanted me, and so I think there's no need for me to go to school because I am hopeless. One day I pulled up the church. It was raining outside. She's sitting outside on a bench in the rain reading a piece of paper, and she's crying, and I asked her, why are you out here reading a piece of paper crying? She said, my teacher gave me this piece of paper on crack babies and how they can't pay attention, they can't retain information. She said, is this me? She had lost reason to hope. My brothers and my sisters, the reality is there are so many that dress up and look nice, but you go through life just like that. You had lost reason to hope. The tragedy of life, brothers and sisters, is when we allow our crippling situations to cripple our view of what God can do. Oh, that was good. Let me say it again. The tragedy of life is when we allow our crippling situations to cripple our view of what God can do. So often we give up on ourselves because of some crippling situation, yet God is not done with us. So often we throw in the towel when God is not done with us. So often we stop trying when God is not done with us, all because of crippling situations. In 1965, a psychologist by the name of Martin Seligman helped to identify what's called learned helplessness. I may have shared this with you before. He took and he restrained some dogs in a hammock. And every time they heard a sound, the dogs would get a shock. Then he took the restraints off of them and he placed them in a box that they could easily jump out of. He played the sound. The dog wouldn't move and they got shocked. They had learned to be helpless. They had learned to stop trying. They had learned that life for them was just going to be hard and they would just be shocked. Although they could now jump out of the situation, their experiences made them helpless. So often we give up because of crippling situations, but God is still able to make use of us in our crippled state. He's still able to bless us even in our mess and our brokenness. Mephibosheth came into the world and at the outset things looked good for him, but now he's crippled and he's fleeing from his home. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to know, just because you've had some crippling experiences in life does not mean that God cannot come in and take you where you are and bring you to where he has for you to go. Just because you've had some bad experiences in life does not mean we ought to give up on the God that's able to take our bad and to make it good. Let me try it another way. I love it this way. The Bible puts it like this. Though the devil will try to come and hurt us, he'll mean it for our bad. God can take the bad situations of your life and turn it around to make it work in your favor. I don't know what your crippling situation may have been. I just want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, that God is able to take your crippling experiences and make them work together for your good. Let me get back to the Bible. I want to show you how it works. Here it is. Secondly, brothers and sisters, we see gone but not forgotten. Gone but not forgotten. In chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, David asked a question that seems to be out of place. He asked, is there yet anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? This statement seems to be out of place. Saul had been trying to kill David for the longest time. It would seem right for David to say, hey, are all of them jokers finally dead? Some of us, that would have been your response. Just keep watching. We're going to act like you got it all together right now. Some of us would have been like, listen, if anybody else is still alive, bring them to me and I'll take them out. That's how some of us would have replied. But David did not do that. David had really just come into his power after defeating the Philistines. And one of the first things he does is ask about the family of the dude that had been trying to kill him. Normally speaking, the king would totally wipe out the entire bloodline of the previous king. 19th cousin, you're not going to make it. Many of us would have been just like that. Take them out, their family, those who used to hang with them. I don't want none of them in my kingdom. That's how some of us would have done. You'd have unfriended them on Facebook. You'd have blocked their phone. Okay, so the servant, Ziba, says, well, there's still one. And he's in the house of Michal in Lodabar. David said, go get him and bring him to me. Now imagine with me, if you will, what life must have been like for crippled Mephibosheth. He's not in the palace anymore. He doesn't have the power of granddaddy to open doors for him now. He can't even get himself around because he is crippled. He had to adjust to the realities of his present situation. Now he's viewed as what could have been. That's the guy that could have been great. That's the one that could have been king. He's the one that could have made it. Mephibosheth would have been a great person for the reality TV show Unsung. Mephibosheth had the story of riches to rags. He's now in Lodabar. And the reality is that no one is concerned about this crippled brother. Life as he knew it was gone. All he has left is the memories of what used to be. Thoughts of what could have been. He was living high in the palace, and now he's living low in Lodabar. He's no longer viewed as royalty, and years go by while he is low in Lodabar. He even has a son there. The life he knows is really as a crippled man in Lodabar. He spent more time in that crippled situation in Lodabar than he did in the palace. Mephibosheth is experiencing the life that many of us experience. You had dreams and hopes and you watched them die. You were the one who tried your best only to keep failing, and then you watched your dreams, your hopes, and your ambitions die. You learned to get along with life unfulfilled. You learned to make do with what you have. You've gotten used to having less. You've gotten used to the struggle. This is what Mephibosheth is. It's not to say that he's happy, but he's just comfortable. He's just used to living low in Lodabar. And while he thinks life won't amount to much for him, while he thinks this is the end for him, while he thinks the bright hopes that used to be are no longer for him, David asked a question. Is there anyone left from Saul's house? I love it, brothers and sisters. It's amazing that God could be working out our blessing over here while we're still struggling over here. It's amazing that God could be putting our solution together over here while we're still facing the problem over here. I love it. The God that we can serve can get our answer together over here while we're still dealing with the questions over here. I get happy thinking about the fact that the God that I serve can take what was meant for my bad and still turn it around for my good. What must it have been like for Mephibosheth to see someone from the king's court show up in Lodabar asking for him? Years have passed. No one's concerned about Mephibosheth, so he thought. Years have passed, and no one even remembers who he used to be, so he thought. Years have passed. He could never recover what he lost, so he thought. He'll have to live his life living low in Lodabar, so he thought. Maybe Mephibosheth was even afraid because maybe this is when they come to kill him. God has a way of coming in when we least expect him. God has a way of coming into the darkness of our situation and shining a marvelous light. The text says that while Mephibosheth may have thought he was forgotten about, God put it in David's heart to remember him and then to find him. Brothers and sisters, when you have been crippled by the situations of life and when you think all hope is lost, just know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Even when we can't see a way, God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, and he's still able to make a way. Here's Mephibosheth getting used to living low in Lodabar, thinking he's forgotten about, and when he least expected, God shows up to bless him. Maybe that's you. You've had to adjust to the bad situations of life. You've tried and you failed so many times. People now look